The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Is it Greg or Craig Nettles? Someone wants to know.
It's Greg, but it's spelled G-R-A-I-G.
G-R-A-I-G. It's Greg.
Greg.
Get a little thing over the eye. Shout out to my friend Jeff.
Jeff.
Talking money.
I will not reveal which Jeff this is. But I'm getting a lot of Waldorf crackbacks right now. How dare we impugn the name
the
Waldorf?
The waves are rising.
The waves are rising, including an article. Shout out to Dean Stark, possible relative of Tony. The headline is this: Dean of Coaches, Sacramento Waldorf's Dean Stark, sets section record for wins in obscurity. And according to the trivia here, it's what basketball coach has the most wins in California high school sports history? Waldorf's Dean Stark? Well, color me educated. I didn't know that.
Is that true?
Probably not. I don't know. It sounds weird. But hey, wow, Waldorf, more than a salad. A high school powerhouse. Look out for the Waldorf. What are they, the Waves?
Yeah,
yeah, they're the Waves.
That's how we got there.
Okay. Did not have the Waldorf Waves on the... I don't see it anywhere on this list of things we're going to talk about today, Jason Ross.
Yeah.
The Oakland A's.
How about them A's?
I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Like, what happens if they keep doing this?
Well, they're going to win a World Series, Jason.
I mean, does it change? Like, I know there's been strategically planned days to not show up.
Yes.
Nobody really wants to support Fisher. I'm not saying they should. I get that. But does this change anything in Oakland? Or is that a lost cause?
I don't think we can answer that question until, what is it, August?
Okay. Why August?
Let me tell you why. Let me just make sure I got it right. July 30th. That's the trade deadline.
Okay.
Because one of the terrible things, one of the 9,000 terrible things about being an A's fan under John Fisher is even when, and you know, I'll put this in King's terms because everybody can understand this. It would be the equivalent of not last year, but the year before. The Kings are doing great under Mike Brown. Looks like they're going to make the playoffs. They're doing good. And at the trade deadline, we trade De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis for about 15 draft picks and some expiring contracts, maybe one or two good young prospects. And time after time after time after time, I'm going to make a point here. After time after time after time after time, the A's get these players together and come the deadline, the edict is if you can recoup draft picks, if you can save money, then now is the time to do it. And now all of a sudden A's fans who get their hopes up that they might make some noise get their legs cut out from under them because they have... You know, we talked before about Rob Pelinka, and he's the guy that goes out and buys the food. Imagine his guy that goes out and buys his food, shops exclusively at the toilet store, and feeds him turds, because that's what John Fisher is. John's not only a turd of an owner, but he is – these are not teams to him. They are possessions.
Yeah. So earlier in the day, we started – talking about, you know, Kings fans or NBA fans as like diehards and casuals. It's probably the same for baseball.
Yes.
So casuals, though, like to be a part of something that's kind of cool.
Yes.
Like that's happening.
100%.
And if the A's continue to win and win more than as expected, is there just a weird flip and all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know what? I'm not expecting a full house.
Sure.
But, hey, they were going to have 4,000 at this game, and all of a sudden they're having 9. And then the 9,000 game has 12. Like, will there be, hey, because I'm frustrated with this team, but this is still my team, and now they're winning. I want to go see them play.
Will there be an attendance increase if they continue to do well? Yes. Of course. Yes. Yeah. 100%. Yes. There will be some that are like.
Any more pressure to move the needle on anybody in any direction, one way or the other, regarding Oakland? Or is that ship sailed?
No, I don't think it's sailed. I think if we were to update what's going on right now briefly with the relocation, it's simple. They're still waiting to try to get the signature signed, enough signatures in Las Vegas to put the $325 million subsidy on the ballot. That's schools over stadiums is the group behind that. You have delay upon delay upon delay in the Tropicana site and getting the stadium started. They're already now freely talking about 2029, not 2028.
Right.
I will continue to say what I've said from the beginning. Unless something dramatically changes, I think this is leading towards an eventual John Fisher sale. And if that happens, you're going to have a bidding war for him, for the team, between guys like Vivek, guys like Joe Lacob, and other suitors are going to pop in. Other suitors perhaps from other cities other than Oakland and Sacramento. Joe Lacob has already said he's got a standing offer. We know that. And the scuttlebutt is that he would buy the team and immediately resuscitate the Howard Terminal deal, which is the ultimate for every A's fan. I would actually say that in some ways, weirdly enough, the A's are in a better spot than the Sacramento Kings were circa 2010, because in both cases, you have owners, the Maloofs and Fisher, that both refused to sell. Remember, the Maloofs weren't selling. They were asked over and over and over again, and they weren't selling until they sold to Seattle. The difference is that there are multiple deep-pocketed people that would buy the team and keep it in Oakland. Sacramento had none of those. So in some aspects, Oakland has a leg up. Now, back to your conversation. Yes, if the A's did well, I mean, naturally, there's just going to be, they're not going to announce it. It's not going to be the cool thing to do, but they're going to be like, man, I got to check that. Maybe I'll just go for a game. Except there's going to be 7,000 people that say, maybe I'll just go for a game. Okay, I'll go to another one. And then, God forbid, let me get really silly here. Let's say in this fantasy world that the A's don't sell at the trade deadline, or God forbid, pick up a player or two.
Right.
I know, again, yeah, LOL.
Seems out of line.
But. Let's say the A's go on a Scotty Hatterberg era giant win streak, and next thing you know, in a West that has not been performing, well, let's say they're fighting for the top spot. Well, here's what's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. What will eventually happen is all the national media that is all over John Fisher sucks and this relocation thing. If in this world you had the A's in first place in the West at some point this season, it will become the biggest story of the summer. It will be by far the biggest story in baseball. And everyone's going to be watching it because you have this real-life Disney movie right. of a relocating team that has already decided to leave, of an empty ballpark, and of a roster that is a bunch of scrap heap and a couple of youngsters that are in the one sport you really can do it in. You can't do this in football and basketball. You can't have these crap teams on paper and all of a sudden do insane things. Baseball has this weird way of being, just see the greatest Giants team of all time. By far not the most talented team, but they had the thing right, going.
Right.
The A's seem to be on the verge of having that thing. And if they do, yeah. And then maybe you get the whole like, well, they're moving anyways. It's my last chance to see it. And it slowly gets more and more bigger and bigger. But then it also underlines the conversation too, Jason, of why is this team leaving?
Right.
Why is this team leaving? Somebody posted some numbers over the weekend. You know, there's like a dwindling amount of seats available for the last home game of the season. For the
I was sure that like, yeah, I do. When I first heard about kind of the official thought of coming to Sacramento, there's four or five A's fans that I know are diehards that have gone to a lot of games. And it was almost kind of the universal thought from them, like one of the first moves they did was buy tickets for the finale.
They're going to sell that thing out.
Yeah.
All decks.
Yeah.
It's going to be insane.
Yeah. I mean, because it means a lot. I mean, there are people that have spent their lives there. Many memories.
Many memories.
Yeah.
It really, really, really isn't sad. We'll take a break when we come back. The West is difficult. How difficult is it? We've got some numbers for you coming up next.
Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140
on Sactown Sports.
Maybe I am.
Hey, Mitch.
Mitch!
Hey, guys.
Mitch!
How we doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. Seeing who the A's. What a difference in owners. I mean, the Clippers have been a joke, right? They get an owner. I mean, what's wrong with the Staples Center, right? Share. And they move. It's changed the last thing, too. Clippers is kind of awful. Why is it that they're not going to even keep Sacramento? They're just going to be the Athletics. And why can't baseball get involved and make this guy spend money and keep that talent?
Because they're corrupt.
Because then give another – give it – what's that?
Because they're corrupt.
Very. This commissioner is worse than one before.
Yes. That's why. I mean, that's the simple answer. They make money. They don't care. They don't care about you, Mitch. They don't care about me or Jason or anybody else. It's numbers and barcodes.
How about the fans just totally boycott merchandise, going to games, buying it, watered down beer?
Well, and I've said this almost my entire radio career, and it's something that If I thought there was a way to make it work, and someone smarter than me will someday find a way for it to work, it would revolutionize the sports world. And you know, I've had this conversation before, Jason. There needs to be a national fans union with different chapters for each team. Let's take, you know, like in England, for example. It's all I can speak on with the soccer teams, right? And I know this isn't England, but Huddersfield Town has a fan group called All Together Town, ATT. Just like, you know, here they have like the Tower Bridge Battalion with the Republic.
Yeah.
And it's a fan group that holds a ton of influence. And they meet with the CEO, the owner, the team president, all these guys. And things like season tickets and things going on in the stadium and police and what, you know, the bathroom in aisle J is broken and whatever. They meet with them about this, and if the team's not going well, like, they'll have meetings about, like, hey, the GM needs to go, that type of stuff. If there was a way to where you could get fans to not be as cynical as I think they tend to be with this, and imagine, for example, you had a fan union with chapters throughout Major League Baseball that had audiences with the powers that be, and well, how would a fan union be able to truly exercise power? Well, you'd have to be organized. You'd have to have a rotating group of people that served as union president for a year or two at a time. You'd have to be able to organize boycotts of games. You'd have to be able to organize boycotts of advertisers. No fan union would have absolute power, but you have a players union. You have an umpires union. You have a referees union.
Right.
You have ownership. The only group that does not get represented in sports are the ones that are paying the bills, the fans.
Yeah, because those groups don't want you to have a voice.
They do not. They don't.
Just spend the money and show up and be supportive.
Right. And it's always been so amazing to me. Now, look, you shouldn't have fans making roster moves. You shouldn't have fans having absolute power. That would be a disaster. But imagine if that existed and fans around baseball were like, you know what? What's happening in Oakland could be happening in Chicago. It could be happening here and happening there. It could be happening in my city. I don't want it. Until you make John Fisher sell, we're boycotting. Now, there's too much of NIMBY going on where these fans are going to be like, well, it's not my backyard. I don't care. But if you had the ability to exercise some form of power in these situations, that could go for everything. That could go for the prices. I mean, these clubs over in Europe have to, like, print out, like, here's our profits and losses. We have to open the books up. Here's exactly how much we made as a lost as a franchise this year. Here's our literal books, what we brought in from concessions, from tickets, from merchandise, from TV. And here's what we spent on players and on everything else. And the fans get to look at that.
Right.
But we don't have that. To Mitch's question, It's corrupt. And they don't have to change. Yeah,
they're protecting themselves.
They're protecting themselves. Their owners, yeah. And in baseball's case, they have the ultimate protection, which is a very, very outdated, that's a whole different topic, a very outdated antitrust clause that has no business being applied to Major League Baseball. The West and the NBA, Jason, is incredibly difficult. We know this.
Yes.
Just the last 3 years of Western Conference Finals alone, Jason.
Yeah, Lakers Nuggets last year.
Uh-huh.
You got Warriors Mavericks the year before. And then Suns Clippers the year before that. So six different teams. If you expand it, 11 teams have made it to the conference finals over the last 11 seasons.
And just two of those six are still alive today.
Yeah. 11 of the 15.
11 though. Of 15 is insane.
And when I looked at who hadn't, I was, and the T-Wolves are one that haven't, and they could. And obviously the Jazz, the Pelicans, and our Kings.
The Kings. Why are we always on these stupid lists?
But you go, oh, the Blazers are, no, they made it. The Rockets are, oh, no, they made it a couple times. Everybody's kind of gone through there. And that's even while in that 11 years was a dominant run where the Warriors were in there 5 years in a row. Even at that, I think they played a different team for the 5 years.
Why can't we ever get on that wagon? I mean, we did once.
Once. One time.
Why do we have to wait 22 years for every conference final?
Oh, then we're close.
Well, we waited 17.
Year. Yeah.
From 85 to 02.
Now it's longer. Now it's 22. 27. Is it every?
Why us, man? It's not the small market. Other small markets are doing it. Like, wouldn't you think we'd just back into one at some point?
I would say the answer to some of that was awful picking of draft picks.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little
in
bit.
The post, about 07 to, what, 17?
Yeah.
18?
It was really bad. 18. Basically, what, between Kevin Martin and De'Aaron Fox? Maybe give or take one or two?
Give or take, yeah. I mean, DeMarcus was good. DeMarcus was really good.
Tyreek was good.
But it's it's not only not getting your pick right, it's who you missed. Like, if the draft was just a terrible draft and you got a player that didn't pan out, okay.
Sure.
But sometimes they missed and they were Hall of Famers all around their picks.
Well, we talked about it. Damian Lillard, Kawhi Leonard,
Clay Thompson, Giannis, Steph Curry. Jokic, Luka.
And, well, everybody's got Jokic. Yeah. But Doncic, you're right.
Yeah.
Alperen Şengün.
Sure. But, I mean, it just shows you that it's kind of what we talked about earlier. It's like, is this the start of something for these younger teams like OKC or Minnesota, or is this just, no, they're going to be on this list of teams that, like, I'm sure in 2021 when the Suns were there, that was Booker, right? That was that group.
Yep.
And you're like, man, probably the Suns are going to be here like three or four more times in the next 5 years.
I have a really – look, anything could happen. It could be from a ownership change to a GM change to a coaching change to an injury to injuries to whatever. Guy just starts sucking. I'll tell you this much. I have a hard time finding a better bet than Oklahoma City. I could see a road for Minnesota. I could Rudy Gobert annoys
What's
everybody.
What's that mean to you, though? What's the better bet? What do you mean?
Being a – the only way I could see outside of injury or an act of God – the Oklahoma City Thunder not being consistent title contenders over the next decade would be if they are forced to sell off some of these players because of cap considerations.
Okay, so here's a couple things on that.
Sure.
I mean, do you think they're that good? Or you just like their setup?
I like their setup. I do like their setup.
Do you think they'll beat Dallas? Because I don't.
Dallas is starting to get that look. It
doesn't mean that OKC's done. I'm not like if they lost to Dallas in four, let's say, the worst, you know, a sweep, I would go, Dave, you're wrong. No, because, I mean, they're just starting this. But I just.
Right. I
feel like a lot of things went right this year, and yes. I like their team. Here I go, sound like I'm crapping on them, but I don't know. I'm not certain that they're this team of the next 10 years. I think they can be.
I think it's a little. I think this is their first foray.
For sure.
Pretty hard task to say make the Western Conference Finals and beat Dallas or whoever.
Yeah. But you did it as a one seed, so next year, I mean, it could be better and be four.
Well, their average age is so tiny.
Yeah.
They're so young, Jason. when you look at their lineup.
Do they have a second All-Star?
I think Chet Holmgren will be their second All-Star.
Okay.
So you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren. Chet's going to be on a rookie deal for a while. Look, I understand that there's a lot of noise around him, but even in a rough year, noise is an understatement. Josh Giddey, I'm fine with him at shooting guard.
Yeah.
Jalen Williams is one of the best young up-and-coming players in the league. Really, honestly, their, if you want to call it biggest hole in their starting lineup, is Lu Dort, who is a shutdown defender.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the best part. The Thunder have $97 million on the books next year. And yeah. All you want to talk about the ability to grab distressed assets. For I just sure. don't know what they're going to be able to do.
Yeah.
Well, I know what they're able to do.
Yeah.
It's out there. But what are they going to do? I will say this. I feel comfortable saying this. We always have this conversation. When it comes to roster, assets, front office, and coaching staff, there is no team in the NBA I would trade for the Thunder. Not San Antonio with Victor Wembanyama, not the defending champion Nuggets. If I was awarded by Adam Silver a franchise, and I could pick any of the 30, including the Kings, and I get to put them right here in Sacramento. So in other words, if I take the Thunder, I mean, no offense, Kings, then the Kings would go to Oklahoma City just from a pure future yeah. and winning standpoint. There's no team I'd take over Oklahoma City.
The Spurs comparison is actually interesting because right now I think not the only difference, but is what OKC currently has. Correct. Because you could say Pop, better coach. R.C. Buford is one of the great GMs.
Yes, he is.
And you've already got Wembanyama.
I definitely – San Antonio would be in the conversation. Yeah.
But
San Antonio being the
also OKC won what 30 more games than them or something.
Well, and the weird thing is here's what's crazy: San Antonio has, you know, it said Oklahoma City has 98 million. San Antonio's 117 million. Yeah. They actually even have more, which is insane, especially yeah. with Wemby on a rookie deal.
Yeah,
I mean Victor Wembanyama is arguably the best asset in the game right now, right. with exception of maybe Jokic. But again, San Antonio calls Denver and offers Wemby straight up for Jokic. Are we entirely sure? I mean, sure, yeah. Denver probably says no, but do they?
Yeah.
Are they saying no just for basketball reasons? Take a look during the break. I posted it. I took a look at LeBron James and Victor Wembanyama's rookie year side by side. Victor Wembanyama significantly had a better rookie year.
Interesting.
And including all the analytics, dude.
Yeah.
Value over replacement player, shares, all that stuff. It's actually, he's had the best rookie year in a long, long time. We'll take a break when we come back. What to watch tonight, along with baseball as well as NBA. We'll take a quick break. How are we doing this? Are we breaking or
am I?
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do all that. Stay tuned, though. A fun new word from Jason Ross is we have a brand new Yay. Friend to the program that's always great to welcome in. Stay tuned. You're not going to miss that next.
Up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
We were watching a video of an AI plane crash during the break because that's what we do. Are you with me? Like, when I'm on a plane, unless I have to get up, my seatbelt's on. Like, yeah. even when it doesn't need to be on, I just am always like, how many times do you see, like, turbulence hits? It's not like you have, like, a big warning for it sometimes. Like, I might have it on a little looser. But I always have, even when they say, like, you can take your seatbelt off, I'm like,
Well, don't they only say that when you're, well, to go to the bathroom or when you're landing, or when you've landed, right?
Well, as far as making it, they'll the seatbelt lines, which I think means.
Is that what that is?
That
means you've reached 10,000 feet.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody told me, like, I don't know what the bong, like, bong is like somebody presses the button for the person. And I think, bong, bong, I want to say, I think it's
Wait, seriously, you can have your seatbelt off?
Yeah, I think they want you to, like, keep it on when you're in your seat, but, like, you can move around the plane.
Oh, yeah.
And some people just take their seatbelt off and chill. But I think, this might be an urban legend, but I heard, like, if you ever hear three bongs, that means, like, everyone take your seats, we're about to go through some crap.
I think they would say that.
But I always listen for it. Like, I always listen for that. Like, when they do two bongs.
If I hear a third,
and it hasn't come yet.
Hmm.
Anyways.
You're going to go nuts in there.
Over the weekend, Jason, the A's scored 20 runs in a game, 10 runs in an inning, 5 multi-run home runs in a game. They had a player with two home runs in an inning, mm-hmm. and they had a player with two home runs in a game for his first two career hits. Never before had all five feats occurred over an entire Major League Baseball season, let alone one team in one game. Not what Chris had earlier.
No,
it was close.
Not entirely.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, speaking of what to watch, it's what you could have watched, Jason Ross.
When?
26 years ago today, this happened. And I'm here for questions in sports.
26 years ago today.
26 years ago today, this happened. One of the most dominant games in sports history happened. I haven't even said the sport. So you got a lot of things.
Well, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm here. Like, I'm here. And everyone play along at home.
I wouldn't know a specific. I don't have a Tim Duncan or Shaq game in my head.
Maybe not basketball.
It's not football.
Nope.
Baseball, 98. May of 98.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I know we just had that. That would have been before that, the anniversary of Ricky Henderson.
This is literally one of the most dominant games anyone has ever had in
baseball. Okay, so now, Clemens?
You're close.
Kerry Wood?
26 years ago today, a young Kerry Wood with a 2-2 record, a 5.89 ERA, four starts, 18 and a third innings over those four starts, giving up 15 hits, 12 walks. That's 27 runners and 18 and a third. Let's just say the whip wasn't great.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is this against the Astros?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
I think I picked up. I was home. Okay. It was like one of those WGN and was on it relative. Yes. I would say, or not the first inning, but yes. Whoa, this guy's. I didn't know who he was.
I got in late. Yes.
And then I was like watching. I feel like it was the Astros. And I watched the rest of the game, I think.
Steve Stone and friends on the call. Steve Stone and friends on the call.
Is Harry still with us?
Is Harry? Oh, in this? No, I don't think Harry was on this.
Hi. You look at the ERA, way up there at 5.89, but when he's been good, he's been very good.
Two balls, two strikes. Got him with the heat.
Yeah.
As the day continues and he changes speeds. A gunslinger ready, the 2-2. Strike three, call.
Good call.
One and two from Kerry Wood. Got him swinging.
Hello.
Got him. Three and two.
Not a bunch
got him swinging.
One crappy guys.
Bagwell again. Oh, first.
Got him with it again.
The
his
movement.
Hand's going to be about twice the size as the other.
Strike three called.
Dick.
The 0-2. Strike three called. The 0-2. Strike three called. Another breaking ball.
Jeez,
the last
toast.
Four men he's faced. Make it five in a row. See you later.
Speed.
Bagwell.
Got him. 14. Thanks. Did he go? Yes, he did. Got him. The 0-2. Got him. He's tied the record. What can you say?
They're seeing something special here today.
Got him.
Nasty.
He ties the National League record. Here comes the hook.
And you watch.
And he never won another game.
No. Right. By the way.
But that's a guy in a zone having a day and a half. Like, those pitches were nasty.
Impossible. Insane movement. That is, in any list of most dominant performances in baseball, that has to be on there.
Especially, I think that was Chip Carey.
I think you're right.
Yeah, the grandson. Wait, do I have it right? Chip Skip?
No, I think Chip. Wait.
Harry to Chip or Harry to Skip?
I think it's Harry to... Were Chip and Skip brothers?
No, father, son.
I think it's Harry, Skip, and Chip.
Okay, and then the new one
Chip.
Is the great-grandson.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway,
Fred.
He's saying in there, here comes the... Like, he knows the curve's coming. The batter knows the curve's coming.
Yes.
And still couldn't do anything with it.
Nothing.
That's how
they
good
knew,
he was.
They all knew it.
Yeah.
And you could see the dejection on the players' faces.
Like,
by the way, 8 of those 20 strikeouts were looking.
Yeah.
2 of them were check swings. Just stupid, stupid stuff.
26?
20, huh?
6 years ago?
26 years ago today, dude. Yeah, you're old, so am I.
Mm.
We're old, dude.
Gross.
Gross. What to watch tonight? Pacers-Knicks, game 1. Why am I saying it like Oprah? I don't know.
Bing bong.
Yeah. Pacers.
Bing bong.
We got a doubleheader tonight. 4:30 TNT Pacers Knicks, followed by 7 p.m. Timberwolves and Nuggets.
All right. You got a ticket. Which game are you going to?
Pacers Knicks. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Absolutely. MSG. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Yeah, you know me.
You're going to?
Yeah.
MSG. You're going there too, right?
You know me.
Also, some baseball tonight. How about the Giants and Phillies and the Rangers at the A's? The red hot A's.
Yes.
Meanwhile,
right here on Sacktown Sports.
Meanwhile, the Giants are there like, we're here too. We'll take a break when we come back. Alan Stiles, who breaking news from the Vegas Review-Journal has nothing to do with the A's. The Raiders could be moving their 2024 training camp to Southern California.
Should have given up on Napa.
I mean, are you going to have a better place? You're going to have a better place to have your training camp for football than Napa?
No, and reportedly everybody else wanted it too if the Raiders left. And now, I don't know if the Raiders put a block on that, but like Napa, that's ideal.
Last night's Tom Brady roast. They all took shots on stage. And afterwards, you may remember if you watched it, Rob Gronkowski spiked his shot glass.
Mm-hmm.
Which shattered and reportedly injured somebody sitting in the front row. You know the cartoon where it's like the big sheepdog who's like, oh, yes. No, sir, no, I won't do. I feel like that's kind of Rob Gronkowski. Yeah. He's just a big meatloaf. We'll take a break when we come back.
Apparently he is.
Crosstalk is next.
It's time for the news of the day.
The latest headlines, the biggest stories,
hard-hitting analysis.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
And now,
here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're here. Happy to be here. Chris Watkins, did you know 26 years ago today, Kerry Wood had 20 strikeouts. Were you watching?
Yeah. I think I saw a replay when I was a kid on WGN.
Nice. Hey.
Yeah. Whoa, wait, how old were you in May of 1998?
Three.
Alan?
Two. I was two. Two and some
Alan, change. Did you watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Guys, today is, I'll give you a choice. It's either Crepe Suzette Day, National Beverage Day, Melanoma Monday, or National Nurses Day.
What's Crepe Suzette?
Crepe Suzette, that's a great question. It's a
crepe. Oh, the little pancakes.
Hey, and there's a crepe over here. No? Crepe Suzette, slightly different version of Crepe Suzette, but it's quite distinct from other crepe dishes. Apparently it is, give me the ingredients, ass. Oh, here we go. Caramelized sugar and butter, orange juice, and the zest. That's important, the zest. An orange liqueur. Once set afire, the alcohol evaporates, resulting in a thick caramelized sauce. It's often prepared tableside. Mm-hmm. Crepes are awesome, dude, if they're done right. Yes. You a big crepe guy?
I've never had a crepe.
Never had a crepe.
I just... You know,
crepe?
I believe that.
Like,
I've that never had a crepe.
Seriously?
I don't get it.
Okay, so it's basically like a paper-thin pancake.
I get that.
It's a vehicle. It's all about, so right. Weirdly, one of the most popular crepes is Nutella and sliced banana, and mm-hmm. you fold it over and put a little, you know, weirdly enough, you probably don't know this. I actually have a crepe maker at home that I haven't used in forever. It's like a big circular.
Is it over the fence?
Yeah.
No. Is that why you haven't used it?
The pizza ovens. Yeah. You guys, I threw my pizza oven over the fence. It pissed me off.
It went too far.
It went way too far. You saw the video.
I did.
Toppings everywhere. Fire alarm
pizza
going off.
Fault. Yeah.
100%. Anyways, I should bring that in. It's like this circular little griddle, and you pour it's a more watery batter than like pancakes, and then you let it go around. You have these little chopsticks that you lift out, and then Nutella. And I could make it right here.
You should
do it.
I just haven't found myself.
They do have a lot of pre-made crepes
in a crepe situation. You know what I mean?
Never gone to like you've never seen like a crepe truck.
Yeah, but then truck? I see it, and then I see the Euro truck right next to it, and I just get the Euro.
Just saying, dude. Grapes are awesome.
I'll get there one day. By the way, this kind of leads us into a bit of a tease for our show, Dave. Something just as far as food is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I am sick and tired.
Oh God,
I'm gonna hate this. I don't know if you will.
Okay,
all the accounts on social media, mostly Instagram, because it's about how it looks.
Yeah,
of all these people that want to be Guy Fieri, and I'm not hating on them.
Yeah,
and the food reviews, and they've just never been to a bad place. Everywhere they go is so good because
there's so
many popping up for Sacramento, and I've gone to a couple, and I'm thinking I want to create the anti-version where I debunk these places and I say, you know what? I'm just real. This place isn't that good. I've wasted money because these places, these people, you got to try this, you got to try that. And then I go, and I won't name the places because I'm not trying to take money out of anyone's pocket, but not everywhere is good.
That's true.
You're talking about Yelp.
No, it's not. No, these people.
No, I hear you.
And they spend a lot of time on these videos.
So Guy Fieri was a guest on this very station with me about, I'd say, 10 years ago. We had Guy Fieri on.
Need him back.
Is that a flex?
Yeah. Yes, I love Guy.
Is it? No, but like 10 years ago.
It's not really a flex.
I don't feel That's like it's a not flex. A flex.
That's anyway, flexier.
Because he's kind of a local guy. You know, he's Bay Area, you know. Anyways.
I know everything about Guy.
So he came on. And we had a great conversation. He was a huge fan. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, my jam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people forget, Guy Fieri won the Next Food Network star. Like, he was just a guy, no pun intended. Yeah. And then, you know, anyway, so I asked him, I said, so I've watched every Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And I got to, you know, do you ever not like a dish? Mm-hmm. Like, you eat 100% of the time. And I'm just asking, like, what do you do? Do they edit it out? Do you just, and he kind of paused. And I'll never forget this. He goes, well, let me ask you this, Dave. Like, if you got a game or something and you didn't like the way the game turned out, are you going to lie about it? And I go, no. He goes, you're going to analyze it, right? And I go, yeah. He goes, that's what I do. He goes, otherwise I'd be being... His point was basically, why am I asking him that question? Of course he's not... He just, every place he goes, he likes.
Yeah.
Which I, to this day, don't buy.
But you can tell.
He famously hates eggs.
Yes, he hates eggs. If you watch enough Diners, you can tell where he's being nice.
You have to look for it, though.
You can tell where he's being polite.
Incidentally, there's a show on the Food Network called, I think it's like Best Bite.
Best Bite, They just did Davis.
They just did Placerville last week. They did Davis, and the sushi guy got screwed. But they did Placerville. And three different restaurants or six different restaurants in Placerville. Check it out. Those places are overrun right now. By the way, the winner was a pastry that was stuffed with mashed potatoes and sauerkraut and corned beef.
In Placerville?
In Placerville.
Okay.
I looked it up.
Was it a crepe?
No, it was like, it was called a pasty, P-A-S-T-Y, not pasties, but pasty.
We knew what they were.
Okay. And it's
very
this,
famous up there.
It's this, it's this thing, it's cooked breading, whatever, with mashed potatoes, corned beef, and sauerkraut in the middle. Now, not for nothing, I won't mention the name of the place, but I always go to the menu. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe that it was $47 for that.
How many people does it feed?
I don't know, maybe two. Okay. I mean, it wasn't that huge.
Yeah. Wow.
Man. Chris, your thoughts?
Sounds great.
Okay. By the way, are you a scoreboard, by the way? I've listened to... I'm trying
Chris doesn't want to say.
You know,
save until the show.
But you are going to talk about it.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Very early in the show.
Can I give you my scoreboard?
Yes.
Please.
I Drake got bodied. It's over. Yeah. You can't come back from that.
Depends you cannot on what come coming back means.
You cannot come back from everything and then the They Not Us. Like, no.
Yeah.
That by the way, also a really good song.
Banger.
Bangers.
Banger, as the kids say.
And MASH.
Celebrity birthdays are brought to you by Crumble Cookies. Everyone was tuning in to hear how I thought the beef was going, though. Meant to be spent with family and friends, and, you know, if you don't eat the Crumble Cookies, you're a loser. That's not what they say. That's what I say. Also, check out SacktownSports.com. Alan Stiles wrote about the A's.
Mm-hmm.
Really good article.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We will be breaking that down around 10:45, 11 o'clock.
Awesome. Saw that. Retweeted it.
Thank you.
I think.
I don't.
I think I might. I meant to. But I am promoting it right now. Celebrity birthdays, Jason Ross.
Happy birthday, George Clooney.
Oh. Clooney.
72.
No. Really?
68.
I was going to say that, so I'll say 66.
63.
We have a correct answer. Christopher Laud, 63. Happy birthday, Chris Paul.
This one, somebody should know. Is he
39?
He's either 39 or 40.
40.
Yeah, 40.
39.
40. 240s, 239s. 39 is correct. Oh, Chris Verlaw, two 39. Of them. Chris Watkins also got that one.
Still counts, though.
Happy birthday, Willie Mays.
Oh, gosh.
I just saw this. So.
Okay, he's out. Oh, you should have lied. Man, he had three in a row. Good job.
He didn't want the spotlight. Yeah. You know?
90.
84.
7.
87?
93.
87.
93 is correct.
What? Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Happy birthday, Jose Altuve.
My guy. Ooh. And don't even think about it.
Okay.
Don't even think about what?
It's your guy.
Oh, he is your guy, isn't he? 31.
33.
35. 34. This is because he's a shortstop.
Please
second. We have a correct answer.
Now get out.
34. No way.
No way. All right.
Clear
the decks.
So it's three in a row, technically.
Three in a row.
Yes, yes.
Could have lied. Right, four in a row with Willie Mays. Good
Chris,
man.
You ready? You sure. Want, let's see, Jason Witten, Bob Seger, Ryan Anderson, Goran Dragic, Jonas Valanciunas, or Angel Reese?
Angel Reese.
Ooh. Yes, yes.
I think he's going to get it.
Okay. Come on.
He'll be within one. He'll get it or he'll be within one.
Yep.
She just turned 22.
You guys have a guess just to know?
I'd probably say 23.
I'd say 23.
23.
22.
Oh! Oh, yeah. Never four in a row. Chris for life.
Do you try for five?
Yeah.
Got to.
Their show. Let's all go. Right. This is history.
Then I'm picking this one. We're going to go Bob Seger.
Bob Seger is 74.
I'll say 76.
75.
Okay.
I'll say he's got a computer.
Let me turn the page.
74.
Go ahead.
74.
No correct answers. 79
Chris,
for
you're
Bob
a
Seger.
Loser. All right. For everybody, I'm me, these guys next. Bye-bye now.